ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतकदाधर श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके, सो आई विल स्टार्ट विद द 21st वर्स फोर्थ चैप्टर। निराश्रयत चित्तात्मा तक्ता सर्व परिग्रह शारीरम केवलम कर्मा कुर्वम नाप्नोति किल्बिषम। सच अ मैन ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग एक्ट्स विद माइंड इंटेलिजेंस परफेक्टली कंट्रोल्ड गिव्स अप ऑल सेंस ऑफ प्रोपराइटरशिप ओवर हिज पोजेशंस एंड एक्ट्स ओनली फॉर द बेयर नेसेसिटीज ऑफ लाइफ। दस वर्किंग इज नॉट अफेक्टेड बाय सिनफुल रिएक्शंस। बट कृष्ण कॉन्शियस पर्सन डज नॉट एक्सपेक्ट गुड और बैड रिजल्ट्स इन हिज एक्टिविटीज। हिज माइंड इंटेलिजेंस आर फुल्ली कंट्रोल्ड। He knows that because he is part and parcel of Supreme, the part played by him as part and parcel of the whole is not his own activity but is only being done through him by the Supreme. When the hand moves, it does not move out of its own accord but by the endeavor of the whole body. Krishna conscious person is always dovetailed with the Supreme desire, for he has no desire for personal sense gratification. He moves exactly like a part of a machine. As a machine part requires oiling and cleaning for maintenance, so Krishna conscious man maintains himself by his work just to remain fit for action in the transcendental loving service of Lord. He is therefore immune to all the reactions of his endeavors. Like an animal, he has no proprietorship even over his own body. A cruel proprietor of an animal sometimes kills the animal in his possession, yet the animal does not protest, nor does it have any real independence. Krishna conscious person fully engaged in self-realization has very little time to falsely possess any material object. For maintaining body and soul, it does not require unfair means of accumulating money. It does not therefore become contaminated by such material sins. He is free from all reactions to his actions. So we have the right to perform the duty, but we cannot we are not entitled to the fruits of the action. We cannot control the fruit of action. That is the reason we are like, you know, compared to the part of the machine. Actually, this comparison is not to be taken in the literal sense, because obviously the part of the machine is not conscious, and that is why here it is mentioned that when the hand moves, it does not move out of its own accord but by the endeavor of the whole body. Okay, so we should not confuse here that these examples are just given to explain some points, but because we are conscious living beings, and that is why we have desires and we can choose, we can make choices. That is the only control that we have on ourselves. We cannot control anything else. And that's the reason Krishna is the ultimate controller, means that among the doers, he is the ultimate doer. So without his sanction, nothing can be approved. Nothing can be done without his sanction, because he is controlling everything. Right? Yeah. So one has to work in the material world, obviously, to maintain oneself. And in order to maintain oneself, one has to avoid sinful activities, so that they will not, the living entity will not degrade. So there is no need to, acquire unfair means by gambling or any other sinful activity. Okay. So any comments or any questions? Okay, next verse. So devotees can continue now, turn by turn. Seema Matari, you have joined? Hare Krishna. Hmm.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, yes Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, are you all able to hear?
Yes Prabhuji.
Yeah, so would you like to continue, Srimad Mataji?
yes Prabhuji. 20 seconds. Yadvachya Lab Santishto, Dvanda Sito Vimatsara, Samah Siddhava Siddhau, He who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is steady in both success and failure, is never entangled, although performing actions. A Krishna-conscious person does not take much endeavor, even to maintain his body, he is satisfied with gains which are obtained of their own accord. He neither begs nor borrows, but he labors honestly as far as is in his power and is satisfied with whatever is obtained by his own honest labor. He is therefore independent in his livelihood. He does not allow anyone's service to hamper his own service in Krishna consciousness. However, for the service of the Lord, he can participate in any kind of action without being disturbed by the duality of the material world. The duality of the material world is felt in terms of heat and cold or misery and happiness. A Krishna conscious person is above duality because he does not hesitate to act in any way for the satisfaction of Krishna. Therefore, he is steady both in success and in failure. These signs are visible when one is fully in transcendental knowledge.
So one in fully transcendental knowledge means not just knowledge, but obviously one who is realized of that knowledge. Then only that person can remain completely steady in spite of success, failure, happiness, distress, or heat, cold, honor, dishonor, all these things. But actually, although here the verse talks about someone who is satisfied with gain, which comes of its own accord, there are actually, when you do service for the Lord, then there is a concept called as such, like you take some anxiety for the Lord. And that, because when you take some responsibility for the service of Lord, then obviously automatically the anxiety will come. And this anxiety is different actually. It is not connected with material energy. So whatever is connected with the success and failure of the Lord's service is actually transcendental. It's in transcendental mode. It is not in the material realm. Okay. So we see that, pure devotees, Prabhupada also, he was many times in anxiety about many things. So obviously that anxiety is not, rajasic or tamasic, but it is Shuddha Sattva. And you see, even in the Lord's pastimes also, Mother Yashoda is constantly in anxiety. The gopis are in constant anxiety. Krishna's sakas are in constant anxiety. Everyone is in anxiety when they are with Krishna. So actually, to take anxiety for the Lord is actually a very high spiritual advancement level. And we have to strive for that. So although the verse is saying about how we can actually maintain our balance in this world, but we have to remember that this is about that, one, because unless you come to the mode of goodness, it is very difficult to realize transcendental knowledge. So at least those who are affected by the modes of material nature, they have to strive to come to the mode of goodness. And for them, this practice is required. If they are affected by the modes of material nature, then they have to practice to become steady so that the dualities will not affect them. And once they are steady, then begins real anxiety, or then, begins the real Shuddha Sattva qualities. So all these things will come. Now, there is a particular pastime in Prabhupada's Leela So Prabhupada also actually mentioned about this, that a devotee also should not unnecessarily take so much stress and so much anxiety, or should not over endeavor. Okay. So one time, devotees in one country, one particular country, they wanted to buy one church or something, church or building, huge church or huge building for building a temple. And they had heard in the lecture by Prabhupada that a devotee should not over endeavor, and whatever comes naturally, they should try to put efforts for that, but they should not try to over endeavor for a particular thing. Okay, and then they should not take anxiety, so like too much anxiety. So, you know, they wanted to please Prabhupada, and they knew that, you know, if we buy this huge property, then Prabhupada will be surely pleased. But at the same time, you know, they had this thing in their mind that, because, you know, buying this property means it will be like, you know, undergoing a lot of anxiety, problems, stress and everything. A lot of struggle. So what they did is they decided that they will not try to get this property. Okay. So then when Prabhupada came to know about it, so he asked them that, why did you do like this? And the devotee said that, you know, Prabhupada, we heard from your lecture that one should not over endeavor. So what did Prabhupada do? Actually, Prabhupada was in another country at that time. So he said, take me there and show me the property. And so Prabhupada went to that country. And then when the devotees made him see the property, it was like a huge mansion. And it was extremely impressive to Prabhupada. So then Prabhupada told to all the disciples that we have to buy this building anyhow. We have to buy this property. And then devotees were like very confused that, you know, they were thinking that Prabhupada, you know, he said something different. So then they told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, but, you know, you had mentioned in the class that we should not over endeavor for certain things, and we should only endeavor for those things which come naturally. So Prabhupada said that over endeavoring is not good, but for Krishna's service, it is best. So this is the difference, you know, that if we want to over endeavor for material life, then definitely it is not recommended. But if you want to over endeavor for the service of Lord, because we want to give the best to the Lord, and that is the reason we have to fight and we have to struggle. So there is a lot of fun in that, a lot of satisfaction. Okay, and this is true love. Actually, real love begins with anxiety. It does not, you know, like you cannot get rid of anxiety. That is obviously going to be there. Because we are not Mayavadis, and we are not impersonalists, and we are not after peace, that we all know, right? This Brahma Kumari people, they say that one has to attain peace, but they don't understand that actually beyond peace also there is a transcendental peace, or, you know, service which demands anxiety, and that anxiety is completely transcendental. It is completely different because it is expression of love. So our peace is basically to serve the Lord. Like, you know, one time when we had gone, actually we had gone to Brahma, one of the Brahma Kumari places, centers in Abu. So that time my sister-in-law was also there with me, and so like I was not there that time, but she was just seeing things, and one person from the center approached her, and actually she was chanting Hare Krishna mantra. So that person approached her and told her that, why are you chanting? What the mantra is going to give you? Because, you know, you should try to attain peace. So, you know, so she said that this Hare Krishna mantra gives us a lot of peace. So obviously, you know, that is the thing, that we don't want peace. We are not looking for peace, but we are looking for some service. Okay. And for service, we can take any kind of risk, any kind of challenge, any kind of anxiety, and it keeps increasing with time. Okay, so does this make sense to everyone? Any questions on this? See, generally we come to the spiritual or you know, we come to spiritual life because we want to get rid of anxiety, we want to get rid of distress, and we expect that after coming to spiritual life we'll get a lot of peace, a lot of happiness. But actually things can get more difficult actually after coming to Krishna consciousness, right? So this is the nature of love, that love basically means, you know, it will accompany with a struggle, it will accompany with sacrifice, it cannot come. The best example, obviously everyone knows, that when a child is taking birth, so how much, you know, trouble, pain a mother is voluntarily undertaking, right? So that time obviously they are not seeking peace. So it's natural, right? So but you know, the most important point is that obviously we take anxiety according to our level of advancement. We don't imitate, and we take challenges according to our level, you know. So we have to also balance sadhana and seva. And you know, if our sadhana is going to get affected through that service, then obviously we have to kind of reduce that anxiety. Okay, and obviously with time, as we keep advancing, like, you know, whatever anxiety that you are taking at the stage of bhajana kriya, anatta nivritti, that will be less compared to what a pure devotee takes anxiety at the stage of ruchi, asakti and bhava. So the level is completely different. But, you know, all these things are increasing accordingly. So at all the stages, all these things increase. Faith, determination, patience, tolerance, humility, anxiety, all these things are supposed to increase as we go up, right? So the intensity has to increase. Okay, so any comments on this? Anyone has any question? Are you all in anxiety? Or peace? No one is saying anything. So there's a lot of shanti. Are you all there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, so is everyone hearing or not?
Yes,
Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, so so all of you would like to take some anxiety? Or better situated in peace? No one is answering. Okay. Okay, let's continue. Yeah, Pratik Prabhu, to read.
Yes, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna. Text 23. Gata Sangasya Muktasya Jnana Vaschita Chuchesita Yajnacharata Karma Samagram Prava Viliyate. The work of a man who is unattached to the modes of material nature and who is fully situated in transcendental knowledge merges entirely into transcendence. Purport. Becoming fully Krishna conscious, one is free from all dualities and thus is free from the contaminations of the material modes. He can become liberated because he knows his constitutional position in relationship with Krishna, and thus his mind cannot be drawn from Krishna consciousness. Consequently, whatever he does for Krishna, who is the primeval Vishnu. Therefore, all his works are technically sacrifices because sacrifice aims at satisfying the Supreme Person, Vishnu, Krishna. And the resultant reactions to all such work certainly merge into transcendence, and one does not suffer material effects.
Okay. Any comments? Okay, next verse. Nidhi Madari.
Yes, Prabhuji. Text 24. Brahma par naam Brahma haver Brahma na nu Brahmana hutam Brahma vaya tena gantavyam Brahma karma samadhina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. Purpose. How activities in Krishna consciousness can lead one ultimately to the spiritual goal is described here. There are various activities in Krishna consciousness and all of them will be described in the following verses. But for the present, just the principle of Krishna consciousness is described. A conditioned soul entangled in material contamination is sure to act in the material atmosphere and yet he has to get out of such an environment. The process by which the conditioned soul can get out of the material atmosphere is Krishna consciousness. For example, a patient who is suffering from a disorder of bowels due to over-indulgence in milk products is cured by another milk product, namely curd. The materially absorbed conditioned soul can be cured by Krishna consciousness as set forth here in the Gita. This process is generally known as yajna or activities, sacrifices, simply meant for the satisfaction of Vishnu or Krishna. The more the activities of material world are performed in Krishna consciousness or for Vishnu only, the more the atmosphere becomes spiritualized by complete absorption. The word Brahma, Brahman, means spiritual. The Lord is spiritual and the rays of his transcendental body are called Brahma Jyoti, his spiritual effulgence. Everything that exists is situated in that Brahma Jyoti, but when the Jyoti is covered by illusion, maya or sense gratification, it is called material. This material veil can be removed at once by Krishna consciousness. Thus the offering for the sake of Krishna consciousness, the consuming agent of such an offering or contribution, the process of consumption, the contributor and the result are all combined together. Brahman or the absolute truth. The absolute truth covered by Maya is called matter. Matter dovetailed for the cause of the absolute truth regains its spiritual quality. Krishna consciousness is the process of converting the illusionary consciousness into Brahman or the Supreme. When the mind is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, it is said to be in Samadhi or trance. Anything done in such transcendental consciousness is called yajna or sacrifice for the absolute. In that condition of spiritual consciousness, the contributor, the contribution, the consumption, the performer or leader of the performance, and the result or ultimate gain, everything becomes one in the absolute, the Supreme Brahman. That is the method of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, everything has to be doubted in the service of Lord, then it becomes absolute truth or everything becomes one. So this one is in the sense of in terms of that we are all part and parcel of the Lord and we are all one qualitatively. Okay, so this becomes one, means, you know, there is a oneness amongst all the activities because the purpose is one of all these activities, and whoever is performing this activity, the contributor, contribution, the consumption, performer or the leader, they all become, they all, their purpose is, you know, ultimately the same absolute truth, to please absolute truth. So this is how it is different from being merging in Brahma Jyoti, because Brahma Jyoti means you want to become one with the Lord, okay, means you want to become God. But here oneness means in terms of the purpose. Okay. Yeah, so any comment or any question on this? Okay, next. Chintamani Mataji.
Text 25. Devam eva pareyavyam yogina paripashate brahma gnat apareyavyam yagyaine gopapajudyati. Translation. Some yogis perfectly worship the demigods by offering different sacrifices to them and some other sacrifices in the fire of the Supreme Brahman. Purport. As described above, a person engaged in discharging duties in Krishna consciousness is also called a perfect yogi or a first-class mystic. But there are others also who perform similar sacrifices in the worship of demigods and still others who sacrifice to the Supreme Brahman or the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord. So there are different kinds of sacrifices in terms of different categories. Such different categories of sacrifice by different types of performers only superficially demark varieties of sacrifice. Factually, sacrifice means to satisfy the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is also known as Yajna. All the different varieties of sacrifice can be placed within two primary divisions, namely sacrifice of worldly possessions and sacrifice in pursuit of transcendental knowledge. Those who are in Krishna consciousness sacrifice all material possessions for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, while others who want some temporary material happiness sacrifice their material possessions to satisfy demigods such as Indra, the sun god, etc. And others who are impersonalists sacrifice their identity by merging into the existence of impersonal Brahman. The demigods are powerful living entities appointed by the Supreme Lord for the maintenance and supervision of all material functions like the heating, watering and lighting of the universe. Those who are interested in material benefits worship the demigods by various sacrifices according to the Vedic rituals. They are called Bhav Ishvara Vadi, or believers in Bahu Ishwaravadi, or believers in many gods. But others who worship the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth and regard the forms of the demigods as temporary, sacrifice their individual selves in the supreme fire and thus end their individual existences by merging into the existence of the Supreme. Such impersonal sacrifice their time in philosophical speculation to understand the transcendental nature of the Supreme. In other words, the fruitive workers sacrifice their material possessions for material enjoyment, whereas the impersonalist sacrifices his material designations with a view to merging into the existence of the Supreme. For the impersonalist, the fire altar of sacrifice is the Supreme Brahman, and the offering is the self being consumed by the fire of Brahman. The Krishna conscious person like Arjuna, however, sacrifices everything for the satisfaction of Krishna and thus all his material possessions as well as his own self, everything is sacrificed for Krishna. Thus he is the first class yogi, but he does not lose his individual existence.
Yeah, work done for the sacrifice satisfaction of Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work will cause bondage in the material world. So this is a stroke from the Bhagavad Gita. We'll come across that. And so without that, whatever we are going to do will have some kind of reaction. Yeah, any questions on this?
Prabhuji, I
hope
doubt. Prabhuji, it says Supreme Lord, it is Vishnu. Vishnu is also referred to as Yajna. Prabhuji, I wanted to ask why Vishnu is referred as Yajna.
Why Vishnu is?
why Vishnu is also known as Yajna or sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah, because the Yuga Avatar in Trita Yuga is, you know the Yuga. What is the Yuga Dharma for Trita Yuga?
Sacrifices.
Yeah, fire sacrifice, right? And who is the worshipable lord or the Yuga Avatar for that particular Yuga? Yajna. Okay, so Vishnu has many different names, different forms, different avatars for specific purposes, and the Yuga Avatar for Trita Yuga is called as Yajna, and that's the reason Vishnu is referred as Yajna here, because the goal of Yajna is to please Lord Vishnu. Okay, so is this clear?
Yes, brother.
Yeah, okay. Any other devotees have any question? I hope that, because Prabhupada has given so many purports, so it is very straightforward and clear from his purports. So there is, in some of the purports, like, it's straightforward. Unless anyone has any doubt or question. Okay. Next. Yeah, Pratik Prabhu, so would you like to continue?
Yes, please. Text 26. Shrotra dini dindri yaniya anye samyamagaminishu juhavati shabda din vishayan anya indriyaga nishu juhavati. The unadulterated brahmacharis sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others, that is the regulated householders, sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Purport. The members of the four divisions of human life, namely the brahmachari, the grihastha, the vanaprastha and the sannyasi, are all meant to become perfect yogis or transcendentalists. Since human life is not meant for our enjoying sense gratification like the animals, the four orders of human life are so arranged that one may become perfect in spiritual life. The brahmacharis or students under the care of a bona fide spiritual master control the mind by abstaining from sense gratification. A brahmachari hears only words concerning Krishna consciousness. Hearing is a basic principle for understanding, and therefore the pure brahmachari engages fully in Hare Nama Nukirtana, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. He restrains himself from the vibrations of material sounds, and his hearing is engaged in the transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Similarly, the householders who have some license for sense gratification perform such acts with great restraint. Sex life, intoxication, and meat eating are general tendencies of human society. But a regulated householder does not indulge in unrestricted sex life and other sense gratification. Marriage on the principles of religious life is therefore current in all civilized human society, because that is the way for restricted sex life. This restricted, unattached sex life is also a kind of yajna, because the restricted householder sacrifices his general tendency towards sense gratification for higher transcendental life.
Each and every ashram is going to sacrifice something, and the grihastha ashram, generally they will restrict sense enjoyment, and that is a yajna for them. But they are, obviously they are allowed some concession for doing that, right? So, any question on this? Yeah, so now here, obviously, all this vanaprastha, vanashram system is there, but our process is also Shravanam Kirtanam, because we are following Panchatantrik and Bhagavad Vidhi both, and Bhagavad Vidhi is mainly focused on Shravanam and Kirtanam. So we as a grihastha also, it's not just an applicable thing for brahmacharis that only they have to hear about the sound vibration or the spiritual sound vibration, but it is applicable for all our ashrams, that we have to be in touch with the spiritual energy all the time. And obviously for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, vanaprasthis, it is more easier and simple because they are protected in that environment. But because the grihastha has to work and they have to maintain family, they are connected with sense enjoyment also. And that is the reason they have to take some precaution. So whenever they are getting a chance, they should always be connected to the spiritual sound of the holy name or the lectures or association of devotees or whatever. So in any ashram, obviously this principle is always going to be there, that everyone is supposed to increase their shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam, right? Then only we can advance. Otherwise, you know, we will get stuck at the corresponding varnashram system. Okay, so we have to get out of that finally. We have to transcend that. Okay, any question?
Prabhuji, what is this in the translation? They're mentioning sacrifice the hearing process and the senses in the fire of mental control. And others sacrifice the objects of the senses in the fire of the senses. Exactly what is it referring to?
It is referring to what Prabhupada explained in the purport. So hearing process, obviously you can understand that the sacrifice hearing process means they do not hear anything other than Krishna's holy name and the sound vibration of Krishna and whatever things connected to the Lord and devotional service. And the senses in the fire of mental control, because the brahmachari is supposed to be celibate. So they have to control the senses. Mentally they have to be strong. That's the reason it is mentioned like that. And the grihasthas, the object of the senses means, you know, the lust and everything, greed, pride, you know, whatever they have, that they have to control it. They have to regulate that. So they cannot give it up altogether, but they have to restrict that. And that's why it is mentioned in the fire of the senses. So object of the senses in the fire of the senses. So in one sense, basically, they have to regulate and restrict their sense gratification. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, all right. Next, Usha Mataji, are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, would you like to read 27th verse? Yeah.
Text 27. Sarvani indriya karmani prana karmani chapare atma samyama yogagno juvati yana deepite. Translation. Others who are interested in achieving self-realization through control of the mind and the senses offer the functions of all the senses and of the life breath as oblations into the fire of the controlled mind. Purport. The yoga system conceived by Patanjali is referred to herein. In the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, the soul is called Pratyagatma and Paragatma. As long as the soul is attached to the sense enjoyment, it is called Paragatma. But as soon as the same soul becomes detached from such sense enjoyment, it is called Pratyagatma. The soul is subjected to the functions of 10 kinds of air at work within the body, and this is perceived through the breathing system. The Patanjali system of yoga instructs one on how to control the functions of the body's air in a technical manner so that ultimately all the functions of the air within become favorable for purifying the soul of material attachment. According to this yoga system, Pratyagatma is the ultimate goal. This Pratyagatma is withdrawn from activities in matter. The senses interact with the sense objects like the ear for hearing, eyes for seeing, nose for smelling, tongue for tasting, hand for touching, and all of them are thus engaged in activities outside the self. They are called the functions of the prana vayu. The apana vayu goes downwards. Vyana vayu acts to shrink and expand. Samana vayu adjusts equilibrium. Udana vayu goes upwards. and one is enlightened, one engages all these in watering, in searching for self-realization.
So here, yoga system by Patanjali is described. Mm-hmm. Different ways to attain the self-realization. But obviously, this yoga system is different in one sense from pure devotional service, Uttama Bhakti. Okay, because here the goal is to attain self-realization, and that can be impersonal liberation also. So, and it can obviously, it can be a meditation in order to go to the heavenly planet also. Basically, it's all about controlling the vayu or the prana, prana. You know, here by controlling that air, and by balancing the flow of the air, you know, one can actually attain self-realization. So obviously, this process we are not aware of. I don't know how many of you are aware of this Patanjali Yoga Sutra, but this is the goal of that particular yoga asana. Actually, the goal of any yoga is to basically reconnect with the Supreme God, and that's the meaning of yoga, union. Okay. But it has become a fashion now that in today's generation, everyone thinks of yoga as a physical activity in order to maintain our health and to also maintain, or you know, to maintain peace or be happy in any circumstance of life. So the you know, their particular view is different, and but according to the Shastra, the goal of yoga is to actually unite with the Supreme, ultimately attain self-realization. Okay. So anyone has any knowledge about Patanjali Yoga Sutra, then if they would like to share something, they can say. Okay, next verse. Anyone else? Hare Krishna. Disturbance. Are you all available to hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji.
But there is some disturbance, Prabhuji.
Yeah, there is some disturbance. So, okay. So let anyone else has joined? Apart from all these devotees who have already shared verses and the purports, any other devotee has joined till now? Okay, so I will continue. 28. Dravya yagnastapo yagya yoga yagnastata pare swadhyaya jnana yagnascha yataya samsita vrata. Having accepted strict vows, some become enlightened by sacrificing their possessions, and others by performing severe austerities, by practicing the yoga of eightfold mysticism, or by studying the Vedas to advance in transcendental knowledge. But these sacrifices may be fitted into various divisions. There are persons who are sacrificing their possessions in the form of various kinds of charities. In India, the rich mercantile community or financial orders open various kinds of charitable institutions like Dharmashalas, Annakshetra, Atithishala, Anathalai, and Vidyapeeth. In other countries too, there are many hospitals, old age homes, and similar charitable foundations meant for distributing food, education, and medical treatment free to the poor. All these charitable activities are called Dravya Maya Yagya. There are others who, for higher elevation in life or for promotion to higher planets within the universe, voluntarily accept many kinds of austerities such as Chandrayana and Chaturmasya. These processes entail severe vows for conducting life under certain rigid rules. For example, under the Chaturmasya vow, the candidate does not shave for 4 months during the year, July to October. He does not eat certain foods, does not eat twice in a day, or does not leave home. Such sacrifice of the comforts of life is called Tapomai Yajna. There are still others who engage themselves in different kinds of mystic yogas like Patanjali system. for merging into the existence absolute, or Hatha Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, for particular perfections. And Swam traveled to the all sanctified place of pilgrimage. All these practices are called Yoga Yajna, sacrifice for a certain type of perfection in the material world. There are others who engage themselves in studies of different Vedic literatures, specifically the Upanishads and Vedanta Sutras or the Sankhya philosophy. All of these are called Swadhyaya Yajna, or engagement in sacrifice of studies. All these yogis are faithfully engaged in different types of sacrifice and are seeking a higher status of life. Krishna consciousness, however, is different from these because it is the direct service of Supreme Lord. Krishna consciousness cannot be attained by any one of the above mentioned types of sacrifice, but can be attained only by the mercy of the Lord and his bona fide devotees. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Yeah. The Krishna consciousness is different, or the Vaishnava Sampradaya is different in the sense that it is offering devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And it is mentioned in Shastra that what to speak of chanting the holy name, but you know, it is also, if you all remember in the Nectar of Devotion, we have discussed that even by ringing a bell in the temple of the Lord, you know, it is actually much greater than opening thousands of hospitals and feeding thousands of poor people, just by ringing one bell in the temple once. So you can just imagine what is the potency of devotional service, right? So there is no comparison between material social welfare activities and someone who is serving the Lord, or someone who is performing any limbs of the bhakti. They are all completely transcendental, and they are their potency is infinite compared to, you know, the material help or the material whatever social welfare activity we do in the material world. It is compared to, you know, compared to devotional service, it is nothing. Right? So why it is like this? The simple question. Someone might think that how can just by ringing a bell in the temple, it can be a great, you know, it can give tremendous results than opening hospital, or because normally people think that Manav Seva is Madhav Seva, right? So how can we explain them that, you know, it is the other way around? How can we explain them?
Usually by the law of karma, that is, manas seva has the karma attached to it. So there can be positive or negative karma. Whereas in the transcendental service to the Lord, it is free from karma.
Right. Yeah. And it is not going to incur any karma. And the soul, so whatever spiritual activities, they are connected to the soul. And the material activities, they are connected to the body. So if someone does manav seva, then in the next life, he'll get manav body, manav sharir, okay? But he will not get free from that. So ultimately, he has to suffer, and then people associated with him also will suffer. Okay, this suffering process will be always there. It, you know, temporarily it seems that we are helping someone, but that person will also suffer and we also suffer, because we are all going to come back in the material world. But when we do devotional service and when we share that devotion with others, then it is connected to the soul. So what it does is, it actually decreases our duration of existence in the material world. And we become more self-realized. So we go back to God after giving up the body. So that is the reason all these activities of Manav Dharma, of Manav Seva, it is all not recommended. according to Krishna, according to Bhagavad Gita. And, you know, he recommends that just surrender to me, sarva dharman parityaja. So, you know, obviously now there is another consideration also, that in one sense Manav Seva is Madhav Seva also, because obviously we understand that everyone is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So we also offer help to the living entities, and we obviously show compassion to them. Okay, so if there is some if there is some particular difficult situation someone is facing, and if there is an emergency, then we also help them in those emergencies, or we also feed, we also give charity. But our charity is obviously connected to the supreme charity, which is, so we want to give charity, then we give charity of books, we give charity of prasadam, like that. Okay, so that form of charity is excellent because it is transcendental. Now, charity is also actually classified in different modes of material nature. So charity can be in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. And if you only feed food, then obviously that will have karma along with that. So we want to offer the best charity to people. And it is one of the symptoms of a devotee, that obviously a devotee has to be compassionate and kind to all the living entity. Because we know that, you know, they are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So in one sense, they are all our family members. And that is the reason we have to help them. Because by helping them, the Lord is pleased. But what kind of help? That a devotee knows that he can discriminate. Okay. But materialistic people, they will not be able to discriminate that. And they will feel, why do we have to, like they will tell devotees that, what is your chanting going to do? Like, you know, one time when we were just beginning our spiritual journey, so one of my very close friend, he also started. But somehow, because lack of faith in the holy name and probably lack of faith in the Lord himself, so he, after some time, you know, after a few years, you know, he told me that, you know, although the devotees are chanting so much, but what the chanting is going to do? How is it going to help others? Okay, and his faith was more in, you know, in terms of social welfare activities. Because he saw, you know, he can see it directly, that, you know, you offer help to someone and you can see that they'll be satisfied and they'll be happy. But the chanting is such a process that the effects of that cannot be perceived, because it is connected to the soul. It is not connected to the body. So now, you know, this. So for him, you know, it was like, you know, a big doubt that how the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is going to help you or help anyone else also. Right? But this kind of doubt is actually not one of it, because we can understand that whatever help we provide in the material world, it is all going to be temporary. It is going to be finished. And then no one is going to take care of the other person forever. There is no permanent solution for that. So this person is going to suffer means, you know, anyhow he is going to suffer. and generally the help that anyone provides in the material world, it's all temporary for the timing. Right? So many times, you know, people claim that the Hare Krishna people, they spend so much in decorating the temple, in celebrating the festivals, and then obviously by dressing the deities gorgeously, they are spending so much crores of rupees, you know, the entire year. So the same money can be used in feeding the poor, in helping others and all that. Right? So obviously this also is something which is ridiculous, because you see, there are so many malls, big malls. You know, there are so many rich, like, you know, if you take example of rich people, so, you know, they will have big cars, you know, which is worth 1 crore rupees, 50 lakh rupees, 60 lakh rupees. So what is the need for this type of comfort life? You know, they can also contribute something to the society. They don't have to buy expensive cars. You know, like, why do they require so many facilities? So they can live very simply. So the same principle applies to them also. And these are the people who will find fault with the spiritual people. And they think that, you know, they are spending so much money, you know, and it's a waste. And then same people, they also believe in God. They also go to temple and they also give some donation. So if your faith is weak, then why are you worshipping the Lord? Why are you wasting your time in that? Just keep helping the poor. You know, so all these things are there, you know, it's all logical, does not make sense, you know. So people's faith, it is always in between. Because they are not into, that they do not want to practice, and they do not want to understand also, that, you know, for what reason we are worshipping the Lord, and what is the ultimate goal of life. So that they don't want, because obviously they want sense gratification. And then they will find faults because their faith is very weak. So this is a symptom of Kanishtha Adhikari, that, you know, they go to temple and they show devotion for the Lord, but they do not treat the devotees and they do not respect them, and their faith is extremely weak. If something will happen in their life, then they will completely give up. So yeah, so these are, you know, all these important points that, so it is always, the principle is that, you know, Madhav Seva is Madhav Seva, because if by doing Madhav Seva, we are also, in one sense, we are neglecting that person who is the maintainer of all the living entities, because of whom we are existing. So how can we neglect that, right? So, you know, that's the reason Prabhupada also said many times that, you know, people in the world, they want a united nation without a common father. So how can the united nation be successful? Because they want to, you know, the father is the one who has actually created everything. And and then the children, they want to reject the father. So how can they expect unity amongst themselves? Because the entire life is based on immorality. So there is no question of unity, right? But here we can see that, you know, in our ISKCON movement, we, you know, Srila Prabhupada has united people from all over the world. It's practical. We have seen that. And all of them, all the devotees throughout the world, they are doing the same thing. They are doing the common thing because they worship the common father without any bias, without any prejudice. Right? So this is a speciality of the spiritual movement. And the most interesting thing is that people, sometimes they become too critical about spiritual people. But you see, you know, the business class of people, the topmost industrialist, and those who are successful in life, or those who are big shots, you know, what they invite spiritual people. They are not inviting, you know, now why we have this motivational speeches by so many devotees. In corporates, in any sector you see, you know, they have gone there. And they're always inviting spiritualists or spiritual people to share wisdom, share how actually they can increase their, you know, profits, or increase their unity, cooperation in the company. And, you know, because all these things are extremely important in order for the company to progress. Because if there is a lot of envy and competition amongst the team members, then that kind of company is not going to sustain for a long time. It will fall down after some time. So in order to train people, because, you know, their focus is only profit, their focus is only material success. But then the most important thing, which is about unity, you know, tolerance, patience, humility, all these principles are taught by Shastra. They're taught by the spiritual people. So that's the reason, you know, so it is not the other way around. So we don't invite materialistic people and we don't ask them to give class, that please help us so that we can become more peaceful. Right? It is always the other way around. So why it is like that? Simple reason, you know, because people lack character, even though they might be successful, but they are lacking character, they are lacking ethics, they are lacking satisfaction in life, they are lacking happiness, and that is the reason. The you know, the life is shallow. So they want to invite, you know, spiritual people so that they can be happy, and then they will also have a goal in their life. because without a goal also people can get really frustrated. Okay, because the nature of material world is, you know, you have a goal, which you have a material goal, but then you keep seeing that the material goal is always frustrated. And it's not necessary that whatever you desire, it will happen. Right? Because we are not the ultimate controller. So all these factors, they clearly indicate that how spiritual activities, they are all transcendental. They are the ultimate. So this is the most, sharing of Krishna consciousness is actually the greatest social welfare activity. There is nothing compared to that. Right? So, yeah, so any devotee there want to share something about this? Any comment or question? Okay, so let's continue. Next verse. Seema Madhuri.
Yes, Prabhuji. अपाने दुहति प्राणम प्राणे पानम तथा परे प्राणापान गति उद्वा प्राणायाम परायाना अपने नियतहाराः प्राणान प्राणेषु दुहति. Suppose still others who are inclined to the process of grief restraint to remain in place, practice by offering the moment of the outgoing breath into the incoming and the incoming breath into the outgoing, and thus at last remain in place, stopping all breathing. Others curtail the eating process, offer the outgoing breath into itself as a sacrifice. This system of yoga for controlling the breathing process is called pranayama. And in the beginning, it is practiced in the Hatha Yoga system through different sitting postures. All of these processes are recommended for controlling the senses and for advancement in spiritual realization. This practice involves controlling the airs within the body so as to reverse the directions of their passage. The apana air goes downward and the prana air goes up. The pranayama yogi practices breathing and the opposite way until the currents are neutralized into suraka equilibrium, offering the exhaled breath into the inhale. Breath is called vikaka. When both air currents are completely stopped, one is said to be in kumbhaka yoga. By practice of kumbhaka yoga, one can increase the duration of life for perfection in spiritual realization. The intelligent yogi is interested in attaining perfection in one life without waiting for the next. So by practicing Kumbhaka Yoga, the yogis increase the duration of life by many, many years. A Krishna conscious person, however, being always situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, automatically becomes the controller of the senses. His senses, being always engaged in the service of Krishna, have no chance of becoming otherwise engaged. So at the end of life, he is naturally transferred to the transcendental plane of Lord Krishna. Consequently, he makes no attempt to increase his longevity. He is at once raised to platform of liberation, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. One who engages in an allied devotional service to the Lord transcends the most of material nature and is immediately elevated to the spiritual platform. A Krishna conscious person begins from the transcendental stage and he is constantly in that consciousness. Therefore, there is no falling down and ultimately he enters into the abode of the Lord without delay. The practice of reduced eating is automatically done when one eats only Krishna Sadam or food which is offered first to the Lord. Reducing the eating process is very helpful in the matter of sense control. And without sense control, there is no possibility of getting out of the material entanglement.
So again, the same thing is repeated also, that Krishna conscious person is always engaged in transcendental loving service of Lord, automatically becomes a controller of the senses, because what we do is we engage the senses in the service of Lord, and that becomes very easy for us. But this other processes of Hatha Yoga and, you know, Ashtanga Yoga, they are all extremely difficult. That's the reason Arjuna also talks about it in later chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that you know, he's telling Krishna that it is more easy to control the wind than to control the mind. So all these processes are actually involved with the mind, and that is why they are more difficult, right? Yeah, so by practicing bhakti, automatically we are controlling everything. All other processes are also included in that. Okay, any comment or question? Next, yeah, Nidhi Mataji.
Text 30. Sarve pe yati yagya vidho yagya kasa pita kalmasya yagya sistrata bhujo yanti brahma sanatanam. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifices, they advance towards the supreme eternal atmosphere. Purport. From the foregoing explanation of different types of sacrifice, namely sacrifice of one's possession, study of Vedas or philosophical doctrines, and performance of yoga system, it is found that the common aim of all is to control the senses. Sense gratification is the root cause of material existence. Therefore, unless and until one is situated on a platform apart from sense gratification, there is no chance of being elevated to the eternal platform of full knowledge, full bliss, and full life. This platform is in the eternal atmosphere of Brahman atmosphere. All the above mentioned sacrifices help one to become cleansed of the sinful reactions of material existence. By this advancement in life, not only does one become happy and opulent in this life, but also at the end he enters into the eternal kingdom of God, either merging into the impersonal Brahman or associating with the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna.
Okay. So, any comments? Next verse. Was the devotee next after Nidhi Mataji? Chintamani Mataji, I think.
Text 31. Nayam loko asti ayajnasya puto nya kuru sattama. Translation. O best of the Kuru dynasty, without sacrifice, one can never live happily on this planet or in this life. What then of the next? Purport. Whatever form of material existence one is in, one is invariably ignorant of his real situation. In other words, existence in the material world is due to the multiple reactions to our sinful lives. Ignorance is the cause of sinful life, and sinful life is the cause of one's dragging on in material existence. The human form of life is the only loophole by which one may get out of this entanglement. The Vedas, therefore, gives us a chance for escape by pointing out the paths of religion, economic comfort, regulated sense gratification, and at last the means to get out of the miserable condition entirely. The path of religion, or the different kinds of sacrifice recommended above, automatically solves our economic problems. By performance of yagya, we can have enough food, enough milk, etc., even if there is a so-called increase of population. When the body is fully supplied, naturally the next stage is to satisfy the senses. The Vedas prescribe, therefore, sacred marriage for regulated sense gratification. Thereby, one is gradually elevated to the platform of release from material bondage, and the highest perfection of liberated life is to associate with the Supreme Lord. Perfection is achieved by performance of yajna as described above. Now, if a person is not inclined to perform yajna, according to Vedas, how can he expect a happy life even in this body? And what to speak of another body or another planet? There are different grades of material comfort in different heavenly planets, and in all cases there is immense happiness for persons engaged in different kinds of yajna. But the highest kind of happiness that a man can achieve is to be promoted to the spiritual planet by practice of Krishna consciousness. A life of Krishna consciousness is therefore the solution to all the problems of material existence.
So by performance of yajna, we can have enough food, milk, and there is no botheration about the population explosion also, because according to the Shastra, we have to have faith in that. And the result of, you know, how we are getting all this, you know, food items is, it's basically because of yajna. So the more we do yajna, the more all these facilities will be supplied to us. It will be arranged by the Lord. So we should not worry about that. But that is the reason we have to do yajna. And the yajna for this age is Sankirtan yajna. That is the reason we... Actually, you know, I think maybe devotees must have experienced this, that last 2-3 years it has rained extremely heavily in Mumbai, and probably because, you know, we are increasing the spiritual activities throughout the year. Like, we have 4 temples in Mumbai, and each of the temple, they have so many different activities going throughout the year, and so a lot of sankirtan is happening, a lot of book distribution is happening. Many things are happening, and so that is the reason, you know, we don't have any problem of water currently. Obviously, you know, there was one time, you know, where when there was a problem, and maybe in the future it might come, but this principle is always applicable, that if we do, the more the yajna we do, the more we will be benefited from all the facilities. So automatically everything will be arranged by the Lord. So, so without yajna, one is actually leading a very sinful life, and that's the reason they have to come back to the material world again. Okay. So, the solution to all the problems is basically to do a lot of yajna. And Sankirtan yajna, if we do, then all the problems will be solved in the material world. In fact, Prabhupada even said, I just shared this letter in our group, that Prabhupada, in one letter to his disciple, he was asked a question, that why, or actually he was, you know, telling Prabhupada, or sharing Prabhupada, that it is an observation that not many people in the world will be able to take up Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada replied to him that, yes, your observation is right, because to buy a diamond is actually more expensive, and it is meant for the people who can afford it only. But if you try to purchase a metal, then everyone can buy. So the highest gift, not is everyone is going to, highest highest thing that is offered, not everyone is going to able to buy it. So they cannot pay the price for that, and that is the reason you cannot see that completely accepted throughout the world. But Prabhupada also mentioned that even if 0.01% of the population in the world, they take to Krishna consciousness, then it will change the entire face of the world. Okay, so this is the potency of performing yajna. Okay, alright, so any question or comment? Okay, next. Pratik Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Text 32. Evam bahu vidya yajna vidata brahmano mukhe karmaja निबिद्धि तानस तानस वर्णन एवं ज्ञात्वा विमोक्ष से. All these different types of sacrifice are approved by the Vedas, and all of them are born of different types of work. Knowing them as such, you will become liberated. Purport. Different types of sacrifice, as discussed above, are mentioned in the Vedas to suit the different types of worker. Because men are so deeply absorbed in the bodily concept, these sacrifices are so arranged that one can work either with the body, with the mind, or with the intelligence. But all of them are recommended for ultimately bringing about liberation from the body. This is confirmed by the Lord herewith from His own mouth.
All these sacrifices, they are all bona fide. They are all approved in the Vedas, and the Lord is also recommending these sacrifices because obviously He knows that people are not going to be able to perform sacrifices according beyond their level of advancement. So in order to connect them or to make them stay connected with the path, you know, it's a ladder, and ultimately they will come to that higher stage, but at least they will perform sacrifices. And that's the reason the Lord, when He comes to the material world, you see that the Lord does not act transcendentally. He does act transcendentally sometimes, but normally He also behaves like a human being. And He also does all the duties and sacrifices and all that. Just to set an example for others to follow. See, the Lord does different things, or He does different degrees of sacrifices, so that He can inspire each and every person at their level to continue following the sacrifice. Otherwise, let's imagine if the Lord only performed transcendental activities and He rejected the sacrifices, the lower sacrifices, then people would not at all follow anything. So either they would be devotees, or they would be demons. We'll get extreme. Okay. But because, you know, this concept of sacrifice is prevailing in society, and there are different levels of sacrifices, that's the reason people are at least still inclined to perform sacrifice. They might do it ritualistically also, but at least they are doing something. At least they are connected to some supreme power. They know that there is some supreme God. They might be connected to demigods also. So all these processes are bona fide. It's just that they are going to take a long time to connect to Krishna. So although it is, you know, the different types of sacrifices are appreciated, but they are not recommended. Okay, and the best sacrifice is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is the highest sacrifice, highest dharma. Right? Yeah, okay. So, any comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, in text 31, there is the mention of Kuru dynasty. And in the last few verses, we see a lot of mention about sacrifice and yajna. So, I wanted to know, like, how is the scene is set, and what is the situation in the context of the Gita?
You mentioned that there is a reference of Kuru dynasty.
Yeah, in text 31. And in the last few verses, we see a lot of mention about sacrifice and yajna. So, I wanted to know, like, where is this, the scene is set in this?
Yeah,
when
so
the Lord is speaking.
Yeah, so we have to refer back to the discussion which was going on. And, so we have to go back to the verse before 20th. And then we have to connect everything. So here this chapter is basically about transcendental knowledge, and the Lord is providing different kinds of knowledge so that it can cater to different kinds of living entities. Because not everyone is going to accept transcendental knowledge, which is the highest knowledge, and people, they will accept knowledge according to their level. So the Lord is also speaking about different kinds of sacrifices, and He is also encouraging sacrifice, because if one does not perform sacrifice, or if he stops sacrificing, then, you know, the result will be that, you know, he will be committing a sinful life, and then he will go to hell. So the Lord has to encourage everything, and that's the reason He is actually giving all this knowledge also. Okay, and in the past we see that most of the kings, you know, whether they were demons or they were devotees, or they were, you know, in between whatever it is, you know, but everyone performed sacrifice. Like obviously we know that Ravan had also performed sacrifice to Shiva, right? So he was about to sever his head, but that moment Lord Shiva appeared and then he got the benediction from him. And similarly, we know that Hiranyakashipu also performed a lot of austerities and sacrifices to please Brahma. And even the time of Lord Krishna, there were many demons who were actually worshippers of Shiva. So each and every one, you know, they are performing some kind of sacrifice, and they have to perform sacrifice because that is the nature of the material world. They cannot stop that because it is beyond their control. So you see, in normal day-to-day life, in this material world, at this point of time also, we have to act in a certain way, even if we don't like it. So that becomes a sacrifice in one sense. Because if we don't act like that, then the life will become more miserable and it will be more difficult to sustain. Right? Even among thieves, you know, there is the principle of honesty. Like, you know, Prabhupada used to give this example that the thieves, they will steal, and when they meet together, so then, you know, their principle is that let us divide this, you know, whatever they have stole, you know, let us divide it honestly. So the principle of honesty is also there. So that is also sacrifice, because in whichever way you do things, you know, there will be some kind of dharma. And we cannot escape from that, because if we try to escape from that, then we will not be able to live in the material world. Immediately the nature's law will act, and it will force us to act in a dharmic way, right? So we cannot give up altogether these lower dharmas, and it will keep continuing. So that is the reason the Lord is talking about all these sacrifices. And obviously, you know, explaining that, so finally, you know, he's also trying to make a point that different people are attached to different types of sacrifice, but the ultimate sacrifice is to connect with me, to surrender to me. Okay, so like that. See, this is a, can say, you know, that the you know, like we in the Hindu scriptures we say, or the Vedic scriptures, there is no force anywhere, or there is no condemnation. See, here the Lord is actually sharing his knowledge. He is instructing Arjuna, but nowhere he is forcing Arjuna to do the, you know, things, and nowhere he says that if you do not do this, then you will go to hell forever, or you are eternally condemned, right? So he is giving this knowledge, and he is appreciating that at whichever level people are, they should connect themselves at that level, and they should upgrade themselves. So he is actually encouraging that. Okay, but if you see in the, you know, the way the Muslims and the Christians, they will promote their religion is by saying that if you do not follow Jesus, you eternally are condemned. But that is not the right way. That seems very fanatic, and it actually blocks the mercy of the Lord also. Okay, so they say that, you know, Jesus, you know, if you worship Jesus, then only Jesus will be pleased. But that is actually contrary, because Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for, you know, people who were trying to kill him. So if let's say, you know, if we do not follow Jesus, at least we are not killing him. So why will he throw us into eternal condemnation? Well, you know, simple logic. So it's all nonsense, you know, that they speak about like that. And even the Muslims also, if you do not worship Allah, then you have to go to hell forever. But here we see what the nature of God is revealed in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly. He's so open-minded, he's so liberal, and he's so appreciative, and he reciprocates with all these kind of people also. Even though they are not completely devotee, they are you know, imperfect, but still the Lord reciprocates, and he's still waiting for them to come to him. So this is the perfect, you know, nature of the Lord, which is presented in the Bhagavad Gita. And it does not sound fanatic, and it does not sound imposing also at the same time. Right? So all these, see, that's the reason Krishna is giving all these views, that, you know, so many sacrifices are there, different people, they perform different sacrifices, and he's encouraging that, he's supporting that, right? So that's how, you know, it is all connected together. So now, is that clear now?
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. So any other devotee, they have any question or comment? Okay, so we'll discuss now this 33rd verse and then we'll close. So I think Usha Mataji, now would you like to continue?
Shreyan Dravya Mayat Yajna Yana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Kilamparta Yane Parata Sampayate. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Partha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. Purport. The purpose of all sacrifices is to arrive at the status of complete knowledge, then to gain release from material miseries, and ultimately to engage in loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna consciousness. Nonetheless, there is a mystery about all these different activities of sacrifice, and one should know this mystery. Sacrifices sometimes take different forms according to the particular faith of the performer. When one's faith reaches the stage of transcendental knowledge, the performer of sacrifices should be considered more advanced than those who simply sacrifice material possessions without such knowledge. For without attainment of knowledge, sacrifices remain on the material platform and bestow no spiritual benefit. Real knowledge culminates in Krishna consciousness, the highest state of transcendental knowledge. Without elevation of knowledge, sacrifices are simply material activities. When, however, they are elevated to the level of transcendental knowledge, all such activities enter onto the spiritual platform. Depending on differences in consciousness, sacrificial activities are sometimes called karmakanda, fruitive activities, and sometimes jnanakanda, knowledge in the pursuit of truth. It is better when the end is knowledge.
So here also you can see that the Lord is, he's now giving us an, he's giving a ladder basically, and he's saying that this is a step-by-step sacrifice. There are different gradations of sacrifices, different levels of sacrifices. So a sacrifice which is performed unknowingly or in ignorance is the lowest kind of sacrifice. You know, that's first step. Then we perform sacrifice in the mode of passion, that is superior to that performed in the mode of ignorance. And then sacrifice performed in the mode of goodness is better than that performed in passion and ignorance. And then sacrifice which is performed with the goal of finding the absolute truth or realizing the absolute truth, that is much superior. And then sacrifice for Vishnu or Krishna is the ultimate sacrifice. So these are different gradations of sacrifices. And here it is mentioned that all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So we have to have knowledge, then it becomes very easy to identify what type of sacrifice we have to perform, and we have to discriminate, right? Like, you know, it is very easy to, you know, for people to believe and to see that if someone is giving a lot of Lakshmi and charity to poor people, or let's say, you know, if you approach someone and if you ask for donation and then people give it, okay, but they don't even inquire, you know, where the Lakshmi is going and, you know, what kind of donation for what is it is utilized. So if they do not ask these questions, if they do not find out, and there is a possibility that that Lakshmi can be used in different ways, it can, you know, for cheating purpose also. So then that sacrifice is basically a sacrifice the mode of ignorance. So so that sacrifice is not going to yield that kind of result. In fact, we also kind of participate in sinful activity, because probably you might give some charity to someone and that person might use it for their sense gratification. So then you also become a part of that sense gratification, right? So that's why we have to always have knowledge, and then we can perform that sacrifice. So that is the reason in the Bhagavad Gita the Lord also is suggesting different kinds of sacrifices, and then he is also declaring the ultimate sacrifice. So all these other sacrifices, they will cause bondage in the material world, right? Because they are connected with the modes of material nature, right? So it is like, you know, we have to perform sacrifice, but then we should also have knowledge for what purpose we have to perform that sacrifice, and where we have to, you know, like for example, for the devotees, we know that we try to use our Lakshmi in the service of Lord, and we also contribute. So contribute in the sense that we are trying to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. So for that, a lot of Lakshmi is required, and devotees contribute for that. And that contribution is transcendental because it is connected to the service of Lord. Okay. So and if a devotee, he is already contributing 50%, especially Grihastha devotees, if they are contributing 50% of their time or, you know, Lakshmi, whatever, then they are not obliged to do any kind of sacrifice, or they are not obliged to, you know, give donation to any other activity, because all the other activities are materialistic activities. See, there has been a recommendation of charity, you know, in terms of giving food, in terms of giving money for clothing, shelter and all these things, they are recommended in the Shastra for a devotee also. But the purpose of that recommendation is to make the devotee soft-hearted. Because if one does not use their Lakshmi to help others, then, you know, that devotee is actually not a devotee in one sense. So the idea is that a devotee by definition is supposed to be compassionate. And that is why he has to, that's the reason the Shastra very strongly recommends that the Grihastha is supposed to invite advanced devotees in their house on a regular basis, and they are also supposed to distribute prasad, or they are supposed to distribute food to the poor people. So that is their sacrifice. That is the main function of the Grihastha Ashram, that they are supposed to invite advanced devotees, serve them and offer them some charity. And at the same time also they are supposed to feed the poor people whoever is, you know, coming to them for help. So the acharyas have clearly given the standard that, you know, if a devotee is already engaged 50%, then he does not have to do anything else beyond that. But the, you know, the recommendation for distributing this charity, you know, for devotees is basically to make them charitable, not to allow them to be hard-hearted. Okay, otherwise, you know, whatever they will earn, everything they will use for their own sense gratification. So in order to encourage them to become compassionate, they recommend that they have to donate. So the best donation for us is basically to contribute in the spreading of Krishna consciousness, because that is transcendental. Okay, so anything inferior to that, it can come in the category of modes of material charity, in the modes of material nature. So we have to be careful about that, right? So this is the way we have to discriminate and donate according to knowledge. Okay. So any comments or questions on this? Okay. All right. So then we can continue next Saturday. So thank you all the devotees for joining. Hare Krishna, Dhamma Pranam.
Hare Krishna,
Dhamma Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Dhamma Pranam.
Hare Krishna.